everybody. This is Harriet Kamek, the host of Down to Earth, the show in which we talk about the issues that matter. And today on our show, we're going to talk about an eye for an eye. So we're going back to the Old Testament to examine the law of God, to examine why would God tell the people at that time who lived at that time an eye for an eye? Why would he give those specific instructions in addition to quoting some parts of the Ten Commandments where it says, do not kill? So in our day and time that we live today, we have to wonder what is the relevance and the application of this for us, because we live in a day and time when it seems like it's free willy season on women. It's free willy season on children. People are just being killed all over the world, in the Ukraine, 100 children per day in Gaza. Children are being killed in Ethiopia, Yemen, in the Sudan, in parts of Central America. Need I go on? So it seems as if we humanity have lost our collective sense of what is humane. We have lost our collective sense of what should we do. We no longer are cordial. We no longer are courteous. And we definitely are not considerate. So we have lost the three C's altogether. And now, here we are, that God has to bring us smack back. Sometimes we have too much grace, maybe. Maybe we have taken advantage of his nature, his grace, as specified in the New Testament, because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. We now are in the dispensation of grace. Maybe we have taken grace too far. So God is bringing to our attention that we shouldn't kill. And would we really like it if it's an eye for an eye? So we're going to go into that in just a minute. And as I look around the audience, everyone is looking at me like, whoa, how are we going to do that, Reverend? Well, I'll tell you how we're going to do that in just a minute. But if this is your first time watching us, please enjoy the programming of Down to Earth on various channels and various platforms. We're on most major Spotify platforms, Spotify, Google, Apple, major podcast platforms, in addition to being on radio and television stations around the country. So enjoy what we have to offer. You can also find us on YouTube. YouTube is free, universally available wherever you are in the world. Also enjoy our programming on YouTube. And I want to say thank you for your support, for listening and watching. Your support is what is keeping us on the air. So thank you so much for supporting us. And if you feel like you want to help us out, if you feel like God has laid it on your heart to make a donation to us, fine. We welcome that as well. You can go to our website, theexodusfoundation.com. From there, you can make a donation. We're a 501c3. We thank you so much in advance for helping to keep us on the air and keeping the lights on. Amen? Amen. So, an eye for an eye. So before I say anything further, why don't we go into the scriptures and see what it says? And I'm going to read to you from Leviticus, the book of the law. Remember, Moses wrote the five books of the Torah, the five books of the law. Yeah. And Leviticus is one of them. And we're going to take you straight into Leviticus chapter 24. And in this chapter, God is simply laying out the law. He was giving the people specific instructions about how they should treat people and strangers among them. Some parts of it initially started out by saying, there is a reason why God said you should stay pure, you shouldn't mix the religions together. And the reason he gave for that is because when one person comes in who believes differently, when that person comes in, it changes the course of the religion. So this is why he's reaffirming what he said, because he gives specific instructions to all of us. I want to be clear on that, because in today's world, Jesus Christ came 2,000 years ago, so all of us have access to God. Remember, in Jesus's ministry, he said he tore the veil of the temple in two, so that now we don't have to go through a man to get to God. So you don't have to wait to go to church to pray. You don't have to wait to go to church for the priest to pray. You can pray right where you are, wherever you are. God is going to hear you and hear your complaint. So now that he has done that, he's taking us back to the Old Testament to show us why he had to do things the way he did. So here we are today. Amen? All right. So let's go to Leviticus chapter 24. Excuse me. And we're reading from verses 17 And if we start right there at verse 15, it will put it into, give you some context as to where we are, right? In Leviticus chapter 24, as usual, we're reading from the New King James Version. And it says in verse 15, "Then you shall speak to the children of Israel, saying, whoever curses his God shall bear his sin." I'm just going to stop right there. Whoever curses his God. It is commonplace today for people to disavow God and to not say the name of God. And I just want to reaffirm that it is still a sin to disavow God. God has revealed himself to each and every one of us in various ways that only you can say that God, it is God. Every one of us has had that witness, whether we want to admit it publicly or not, whether we want to say it. God is not requiring in this moment that you have to go make a public show. But he's saying, if you know that I'm God and I have come to you, I have shown myself, I have revealed myself to you, then stop talking about me as if I don't exist. It's similar to me as a parent. Yeah, I have two daughters. I have two children currently. Okay, so I have two children. I say currently because I'm not married. So when I marry, my husband will have, if he has children, his children also become mine. Okay. So imagine if my children, I'm alive, even if I did not exist in this world anymore, but imagine my children disavowing the fact that I am their parent. Imagine my children disavowing all the knowledge they have had of me, all the ways in which I have been a parent to them. Wouldn't that be hurtful? Well, it's the same thing with God. So he's saying here in verse number 15, "But whoever curses his God shall bear his sin. And whoever blasphemes the name of the Lord shall surely be put to death." In those days, that's what it was. This, in fact, this is why Jesus was put to death, because the Israelites at the time, the Jews at the time, considered that Jesus was blaspheming by declaring that he was the Son of God. So they put him to death for that. "All the congregation shall certainly stone him, the stranger as well as him who is born in the land," meaning who is native. "When he blasphemes the name of the Lord, he shall be put to death." He said it over and over and over, so it's important. Verse 17, "Whoever kills any man shall surely be put to death. Whoever kills an animal shall make it good, animal for animal." So if you kill your neighbor's dog, ladies and gentlemen, those of you who are poisoning your neighbor's animals, you should be restoring an animal, animal for animal. "If a man causes disfigurement of his neighbor, as he has done, so shall it be done to him. Fracture for fracture, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. As he has caused disfigurement of a man, so shall it be done to him." So all of you who are going around beating up people, what if the same disfigurement came to you? "And whoever kills an animal shall restore it, but whoever kills a man shall be put to death." Do you see in the hierarchy of God's kingdom, man is equal. Man here is not, doesn't mean the male person of the human diagram. Man here means mankind. So all of us who are alive. So men and women, children, human beings. "And whoever kills an animal shall restore it, but whoever kills a man shall be put to death. You shall have the same law for the stranger and for one from your own country, for I am the Lord your God. Then Moses spoke to the children of Israel, and they took outside the camp who had cursed and stoned him with stones. So the children of Israel did as the Lord commanded Moses." Father, in the name of Jesus, let me decrease so that you might increase. May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I pray for someone right now who needs an answer by tomorrow. I pray that you will give someone a supernatural, overnight, expeditious deliverance in 24 hours. I pray right now that you reduce anxiety in the name of Jesus. Show someone the future. Give them a dream or a vision of the future so the anxiety diseases. I speak to anxiety right now and command it to dry up. I speak to sickness. I speak to tumors and cancers. that they all dry up in the name of Jesus, that they burst now and come out of our bodies in Jesus' name. Come out of that man. Come out of that woman, that man who has a lump in his head. In the name of Jesus, I command it to burst right now in Jesus' name, that it dries up and comes out. Someone who has something in their ear, in the name of Jesus, that it sees. Someone who has boils, it seems, just walking up and down, the cancer, making fun of us as it walks up and down in our bodies. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke it right now and command it to dry up by the blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible says there is no other name above the name of Jesus. There is no name above the name of God. And every sickness must bow to the name of God. We command wars to cease under the name of God. We command right now that every poverty be lied. For people in Africa who are lifting up their voices, people in the Sudan and in specific parts of the African continent, people in the Ukraine who are looking up into the sky and saying, oh God, have mercy. Have mercy right now. People in Russia right now, in the name of Jesus, people in the Sudan, one more time, in the Sudan, one more time, for the children in Gaza right now, in the name of Jesus, pull it up, in Jesus' mighty name. There is no name above the name of Jesus. And Father, we rest this case before you. We command a supernatural, overnight, expeditious miracle. Overtake your people this week in 24 hours. Give them a supernatural overnight. For those who are grieving, give them a supernatural overnight expeditious deliverance in 24 hours. A supernatural overnight deliverance for those who are expecting a financial miracle. In the name of Jesus, oh God, walk up in our circumstances. Walk through hospital rooms. Heal your people right now. Lay aside every weight, Jesus. Pull up heart problems, oh God. Solve problems in our lungs and in our intestines, Jesus. Let our bodies work with the coordination that you created. In the mighty name of Jesus, discharge sexually transmitted diseases off your people. In the name of Jesus. And we give you all the praise and we give you all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name. And everybody in agreement say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. An eye for an eye. We just thank God this morning that we're able to bring you this message. We just thank God that he has brought us back to what we have come from. This is the law of God. Sometimes today we forget about God. We are so powerful. We look around the worlds that we have created, haven't we? And we look at all the tall buildings and the skyscrapers. We look at how perfect our vehicles are. 100 years ago, our ancestors had to walk for miles and miles to get food. They didn't have the storage capacities that we have today. They didn't even have the communication equipment and the technological equipment that we have. So we get puffed up. We don't think we need God, because who needs God, right? What do you need God for? You're going to pray? Girl, go get yourself some credit and then you'll be fine. That's what we say to ourselves. We don't say that we need God until you go to the doctor and the doctor says, I think I see something. When the doctor says, I think I see something, then you realize all the money in the world, you put that black card down and it still can't make that lump disappear. It still can't make that cancer go away. In the name of Jesus, then you're forever humbled, because now your body has come calling. Now your body is saying, who is God? Who is my creator? Amen. So we thank God that sometimes God has to bring us back to basics. He has to bring us back to the law. Look at this. An eye for an eye. He's telling us, why are you killing? So God is up in heaven looking down at us, frankly, my friends, my brothers and sisters. And he's asking us this question, why are you killing each other? Have you forgotten what I used to say? Because remember now, God is looking at us through Jesus. Jesus is our intercessor. And Jesus is saying, hold up, Father, don't do anything. Don't strike them. Don't do anything. Let me give my chance, give my sacrifice one more chance to work. Because God is like, are they crazy? Did I not send them the law? Did I not tell them to do unto others as you would have them do unto you? Did I not tell you do not kill? So what do you want? Do you want me now? God can't reverse his word because he already sent Jesus. So he can't go back and unsend Jesus' sacrifice to go back to this. But he's warning us. There is a reason for everything. If God is telling us to come speak this right now, it's because he has a different remedy. It's because he's about to do something. 100 children per day are being killed in Gaza. Can I just ask you one question? Why? Can I just ask you this question? Why children in America are going hungry when there are millionaires and billionaires and trillionaires and zillionaires? Any answers? Why children in America are going homeless when there are what? Say it one more time. Millionaires and billionaires, trillionaires and zillionaires. Some people have so much money now, they can't even be quantified as a trillionaire. They're no zillionaires. We may have to come up with a new word for them. Why are we killing people indiscriminately? So we don't have a conflict. So we create conflicts the world over and call it wars and use that as an excuse to kill people. But wars should come to an end, right? Because World War II came to an end, World War I came to an end, the Korean War, the Vietnam War, the Spanish Inquisition, need I go on, the American Civil War. Hi, every war came to an end, right? So we're looking at Ukraine, and this started when, in 2022, was it? Right after 2021? We just had a brief moment of peace after the coronavirus, and then here comes Putin just wanting to fire up all of Europe, just want to run across Europe, threatening England and all kinds of stuff. Just want to uproot and just create conflict. What is wrong with all of you? That's what God is saying. Did I not tell you do not kill? Do you understand? Have we read the Old Testament where it says, it is written where it says, do not let a man's blood touch the ground? Have we forgotten? Remember what happened with Cain and Abel, how God was upset? Remember, all through the Old Testament, God was upset with what we humans were doing. So he sent Jesus as a propitiation to cleanse us, to help us to say, maybe we can live without killing one another. Yet, we're still going. So God is reminding us, an eye for an eye. What if God starts looking at us? So let me ask you this question. The people who run Russia, what if God starts looking at you and saying, so you want to kill the people in Ukraine? What if I ask you for an eye for an eye? So the people who are hurting the children in Gaza, what if God goes to them and says, if I start exacting an eye for an eye, what would happen? The people who are hurting my own country, the people who are hurting the people in Yemen and in the Sudan, and in Ethiopia, and in everywhere there is conflict, if God starts what? Exacting it and starts seeing an eye for an eye, what would we do? Do you see now why God had to back up a little bit? I wonder if we are understanding who God is. I think we have forgotten because most of us are so pumped up and full of ourselves. We're so full of our own philosophies. We're so full of our own existentialism that we can think and think and think. But you know, the one thing we can't think through is death. Nobody can bring back anybody who has died. Nobody who has ever died. You can't go back out into the grave. Have you ever been the one who has to go to a morgue to identify a loved one? If you are so powerful, I command you, pull them back up. Command them to get up and walk out of there. Can't do it. So with all our puffed upness, and believe me, I'm a human being. I admire the achievements that we have made. I admire the fact that we can do great things, but we have gone outside of ourselves. We are forgetting who started all of this. In all the major religions of the world that I have studied, it always comes back to this one central theme that there was a man who started it, who was a savior, who had an idea, and he walked his known region and spread his gospel in every major religion that I studied. I wonder where that came from. There was always this central theme that there was one great spirit. So miss me, as my daughter would say, with the idea that God does not exist and God is a construct. That's where it's going now, because now sociologists and psychologists are saying that gender is a social construct. Looking at a man with anatomy of a man and a woman with the anatomy of a woman and claiming that that gender is a social construct. Do you see how far we have gone? We have gone so far we have forgotten where we come from. Remember the law? Remember the law. Even the ancient Greeks and the Romans had a law and had a guidance, had some sort of system that guided them. What is wrong with those of us who are alive today? So God is calling us back. We don't want to go back. As for you, I know that he can't lie and he can't bring Jesus and unsaid Jesus. But I also don't want to see the consequences because God is upset with us because we still are doing what? He did tell us to not kill, didn't he? Mm-hmm. Yet women and children are being killed indiscriminately. People get up one morning and they get mad because they got fired. So they just pick up and they just go back to work and just shoot people because it's nothing. Like there are no consequences. It is not enough now for us to put them in jail, people. There has to be, the consequences have to be enforced. We have to do things to stop this indiscriminate killing. A girl says she doesn't want to be with a guy anymore and he wants to kill her off. How many of us have had children who have gone through that? She tells her boyfriend she doesn't want to be with him anymore and he kills her. We have got to get to the point where we said, what is wrong with us that causes us to think like that? That a whole society of people think like the only way you can live is to get rid of someone else. We're killing children. We're just shooting the place up because we are happy. And we're just going to shoot children, innocent children who have done nothing to us. 100 children per day in Gaza. I want us to keep that as the focus. The Bible says, God said it clearly. He said an eye for an eye. If he were to exact that today, what would that cost be? What would it cost us to get there? What would Jesus have to do? What would God have to do? If God were to come down right now and start saying, I want this to be overturned, what would that cost be? Very uncomfortable for you as it is for me. So now what are we going to do? We're going to step back over into Jesus and we're going to ask God for forgiveness and we're going to demonstrate that forgiveness by forgiving the people who have hurt us. We're going to stop the wars. We're going to stop the killing. Before we stop the killings worldwide and globally, how about we stop the ones right in our neighborhoods? How about we stop the ones right in our cities? Why don't we stop turning a blind eye to the people and say, that's not my problem. It's for the people down there. That's their problem. Knowing that we cause the infrastructure, we cause the social climate that causes people to react violently. A few days ago, I went on a tour of a facility that houses mental health individuals, people who are in need. And I was distraught by the time I left. I had to go do some therapy. I was outdone when I looked at the conditions, because as I tried to say, there is an intersection of violence and poverty that breeds this kind of situation. We're in America today and we're headed down that road fast. The people who are the trillionaires, forget the millionaires, that's just ordinary people right now. $1 million is nothing. The people who are the billionaires, the trillionaires, and the zillionaires are so far removed, they don't care what is happening. They don't care that pretty soon in America, we're going to have confusion and chaos. They don't care. All they're thinking about, as long as they can get to do what they want and make more money, that's all they care about. Nobody is telling them to stop. Nobody is telling them, have a conscience or a conflict of morality, or have some kind of moral compass that says, maybe you shouldn't lower price, you shouldn't hike the prices up so much. Maybe you shouldn't fire people so indiscriminately. That's a form of killing now, isn't it? The Bible says, do not kill. Do you know how you're killing people? Firing people, firing heads of households, men and women who leave their households, you're firing them and they have no other jobs, or you're hiring people, but you give them only 20 hours a week. You tell them if they come. All these signs saying hiring, they're hiring people. People going to be hired. The first week they work 40 hours, the second week is 25, and the third week is 15 hours at $15 an hour. How are they supposed to pay rent? You're killing people off. You're causing people to have high blood pressure. You're causing people to have stress. You're causing people to not be able to feed and take care of their families. That is killing. I'm speaking to corporate America right now. Are you happy? Because if you're happy, the rest of us aren't. And there are 363 million of us, and maybe 2 million of you guys. So what is going to happen when people really start seeing the conditions that you have caused? What are you going to do? Give us more law? Or are you going to follow the Bible? And this is why you disavow the Bible, because the Bible said, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. So when you're hiring people, you think of yourself and you say, if I were that person, what would I want? But no, we don't do that. You know what you say? That's not killer mentality. Listen to what you say. You say, that's not killer mentality. So you want to kill me off. So even though you're not picking up a gun and shooting me, but you're killing me off when I go to the grocery store. A few days ago, I went to the grocery store. My daughter thought it was so hilarious. I had 4 bags of groceries and it was $99.46. I kid you not. She said beads of sweat were dripping from my brow. She said, Mom, you're sweating. Beads of sweat ran down my neck, at the back of my neck. And it's just me. Imagine someone who has children they have to feed. That's how you're killing people. Giving people high blood pressure. Giving people stress beyond imagining. Making people have to eat stuff. How about this? How about, you want to know how else you're all killing people? Let me tell you how. Ready? Why is it that fast food is cheaper and more accessible than a salad? They say we should eat right, right? Have you tried buying the foods that you need to eat right with? The Bible says, do not kill. An eye for an eye. So I want to say this before we go. Jesus came to solve this for us. Jesus came and stood in the gap between God and man and said, look, we don't have to do this anymore. And they killed him. So I'm going to ask you this. Before you kill anyone else with your policies, before you kill anyone else with the wickedness of high prices and inflation, before any more guns are discharged against a woman and a child, before any more guns are discharged in Gaza, before any more guns are discharged in Yemen and the Sudan and Ethiopia, before people in Ethiopia have to walk 5 miles to go get an eye drop, before I go crazy looking for eye drops in Walmart that were 99 cents that are now almost $4.99, before that happens, I am going to ask for forgiveness on collectively on behalf of us. Say with me, Father, I beg your forgiveness for all the things I have done. And I ask you to have mercy on me. Come on, say it together. We're saying it together. Have mercy on me, O God. Forgive me, Lord, for all I have done, for the things I didn't think about, for the things I never thought about. But now that I know, I will do better. Come on, let's say it all together. So I'm speaking to all of us. We must do better. We must stop this, because an eye for an eye, we don't want to go there. We never want to go back to an eye for an eye. We want to look at Jesus and say, let it be complete through Jesus. So in these last 3 minutes, let me pray for you. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask for all of us that you come to us at the place and at the intersection where we need you most, that you see us and you help us and you give us mercy and grace. In Jesus' name. Amen. Be blessed.